This Raw Talk podcast is sponsored by our friends at Mortgage Express. We'd like to thank Alfonso Archuleta of Mortgage Express for supporting the music and ministry of M88. They're located at 3701 San Mateo Northeast at the corner of San Mateo and Comanche. Their phone number is 237-2460. It's the support of listeners and businesses like Alfonso Archuleta and Mortgage Express that makes the music and ministry of M88 possible. Thanks again to Mortgage Express and Alfonso Archuleta for sponsoring this episode of the Raw Talk podcast. And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. Thanks for joining us for this evening's Raw Talk. Real quick, I want to thank Alfonso Archuleta of Mortgage Express for sponsoring tonight's Raw Talk. We appreciate everyone who comes alongside and helps out the music and ministry of M88. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without the support of listeners and businesses like Alfonso Archuleta and Mortgage Express. So we appreciate them sponsoring tonight's episode of Raw Talk. Also, real quick, I want to thank everyone who helped us out at the Albuquerque Rescue Mission on Friday. Mm-hmm. That was a big blessing. We had I wouldn't call it a good time we had.
An eye-opening time.
Yes, that's what I would call it. I wouldn't call it a good time. But
kinda
it was
like tonight's show.
Well, it was kind of it was a refreshing time, you know,
right.
just to always have things put back in perspective. And so thank you, everyone, who helped out. And, you know, be listening. We're going to be doing that once a month down at the Albuquerque Rescue Mission. We went down there, served breakfast, and you can see exactly what took place when you go online to m88.org if you want to check that out. So tonight, we're going to talk about something that is near and dear to the hearts of both Steve-O and myself. Steve-O, your morning amigo here on M88, takes care of the morning show every morning, and good guy, good all-around guy. Thanks
hey,
for joining me, Steve-O.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to think of how exactly to introduce you, because I have these other guests on. Well, he's the professor of blah, 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 has a PhD and such, has written 20 books. And
reinvented the word dude.
Yeah, okay. Well,
there
I can put
go.
That on
your
That's list
what
of
you
accolades.
Can say.
Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about role models, purity, things of that nature. And just so parents are aware, the topic tonight may be a little bit sensitive as we get into some specifics. Some shocking things have been happening in the teen culture recently.
Man.
So, just be aware of that if you don't want younger kids to hear some of these things of a sensitive nature, you might want to move them off and have them play Play-Doh or something. So, with that out of the way, we're going to talk about this tonight. And the reason this is so important, I think, to both of us, Steve-O, mm-hmm. is we have both made mistakes. We have both been influenced by what the world says is sensual and sexy and is okay so far as how we present ourselves, present our bodies, how we interact with people of the opposite sex. And we've made compromises on that. Both of us have. And we don't want to see that happen with our kids.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah.
In fact, for me, I this might even sound cliche, but I've been trying to not use the word mistakes because it seems like even that, like, the word adultery is such a hard word, and then it kind of changed to affair somewhere down the road, and it seems less, you know, it's an affair. Yeah, you have an affair, and it just seems less worse. And so when I hear mistakes in these things, I keep trying to revert back to sin. Like, yes, I have sinned. So for me, like, that's one thing actually that I've been trying to do a lot lately is use the word sin, because that's a harsher word, but let's call it what it is. You know, it's, we can say that we make mistakes and we do these things, and dude, I've sinned a lot in my life, and praise God he found me where I was at and pulled me out of all of the junk, you know. But because of that, it's such a struggle to see. I was just at Joey's son's birthday party, and I'm saying,
happy birthday, Julian.
Happy birthday, Julian. And, you know, left the kids there, and everybody's hanging out, having a good time, and seeing all of these beautiful, innocent children, quote unquote, innocent children, because according to the Bible, they're not. They're already not. However, Seeing them, it's like, man, I'm not ready for them to go into this world, because seeing everything else around us from every single aspect that we see it from is very difficult, because today's society is, it's different, dude. Even the high school scene in itself is completely different from even when we were in high school
years
ago.
I know, it's so different, and it's actually scary where we've arrived at. Now, if you're wondering who the expert is tonight on tonight's show, actually the expert is you, the listener. I want to know what you guys think about what we're discussing tonight. This is where you can tell us what's really going on, okay?
Yep.
I've read all the news stories. I've talked with some of the experts, quote-unquote experts on this topic. I even considered having one of them on. And actually, when I thought about it, it's like, you know what? This is where the listeners need to tell us what's really going on and what we should do about it. So tonight is your night to shine and tell us what's really going on when it comes to role models in our society and culture, how they're really influencing us, and what we as Christians can do to make a stand for moral purity. How can we set ourselves apart? And the first thing I want to cover tonight is this whole dealio with Miley Cyrus, all right? Miley Cyrus, as you know, Hannah Montana.
Right.
Which is so weird, because even my daughters, who are like 6 and 2 and a half, 2 and 3 quarters, yeah, they know who Hannah Montana is. They've never gone to, we don't have the Disney Channel.
See, thankfully I have boys, so I have
but
no
idea.
Like,
oh, Hannah Montana.
Right.
How do you know that? And yet they do. So there is no denying the broad impact that this character, more or less, is having on our culture. And then recently, with this whole dealio with a photo shoot in Vanity Fair, where she posed for some pictures that were less than modest.
Right. Oh, dude. Yeah.
And now it's just turned into this huge fiasco. Well, I want to know what you guys think. 505-338-5790. Specifically, how was Miley Cyrus a role model? And how surprising is it that something like this happened to this quote-unquote role model? And why does this keep happening to these young female role models? Tell me what you think. 505-338-5790. This is your chance to share your opinion on this whole Miley Cyrus thing, or Britney Spears' sister.
Oh, man, yeah.
She has her own TV show, another culture icon that was, you know, innocent and pure.
Right.
A good role model. And now
pregnant.
She's pregnant with her boyfriend.
Right.
And they're not making a big deal about it. Like, this is what happens.
There's a lot of young people in the media these days getting pregnant. And now I don't want to start off by trashing certain things, but let me bring up a movie that's probably going to bum a lot of people out, because I know a lot of people, a lot of friends actually, who are like, dude, this movie, loved this movie. One of the best movies of the year. So let's hear what you guys think. I haven't seen this movie personally because of the portrayal in it, but Juno. Juno is a movie about a girl in high school, right?
Yeah.
As I understand it, who gets pregnant. And according to everything I've read, and some of my friends who have seen it have said, dude, it makes high school pregnancy look like a breeze, man. You know, and it's funny, and it's just witty and cool. And kudos for her keeping it, you know, according to the storyline, and, you know, giving it up for adoption and all that. However, it still doesn't show fully, you know, the difficulties of high school pregnancy, and unfortunately, I think it all comes down to the media, honestly. It all comes down to everything that is going into our brains everywhere you look. Obviously, with Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana, I thankfully have never, ever, ever seen the show, so I couldn't tell you what the show is about, but it seems like...
Well, she's a singer, mostly, isn't she?
Right. Yeah, well, she's Billy Ray's kid, you know, achy, yeah, breaky heart, and I'm sure he's got an achy, breaky heart right now, because I guess he wasn't at the show. They did some photos together, father, daughter, okay, cool. Hey, I'm going to go pick up some whatever. All right, I'll talk to you later, girl. And then she took some more photos or something. I don't even know, dude. It's just a big... Ech.
Well, did you hear what Disney's doing now? All of a sudden, Miley Cyrus is incognito, kind of out of the limelight, laying low until all of this blows over. Mainly, and this is my cynical side coming through, because, you know, she's making a lot of money for them as a very family-friendly, G-rated type of role model. Wasn't quite time for this yet.
Right.
And that's the part that I think bothers me most, is the sense of inevitability about this. That no one, you know, yeah, it's kind of a fiasco right now, but the general sense is no one's been really surprised that it's happened.
Yeah.
And they're just surprised that it happened so early.
Right.
She's 15.
Oh, man.
So 505-338-5790. What do you think about this? I mean, what do you think about this quote-unquote role model who suddenly is a little more revealing her sensual side? What sort of effect is that going to have? What does that mean to our young girls? What does that mean to you? 505-338-5790 if you have an opinion about this and what we as Christians should do. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that Miley Cyrus was a role model for all Christian young girls everywhere.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, my daughters, who, you know, have never seen the Disney Channel, never gone to any of your concerts, never seen, and they knew who she was.
Exactly.
That is how much she's infiltrated our culture. And now this is happening, and, you know, my daughters don't, you know, read CNN, so I don't know if they're aware of the current scandal, but it's still something like, man, because every time they see something, oh, they're Montana.
Right. See, and it's not just the young girls, dude. This is showing how to treat women, essentially. Like, my young boys, you have girls, I got boys, and I'm worried on the other aspect of it, because I think about my boys and what they're seeing. And let's be real, dudes are very visual. Our eyeballs are... you know, and you have to, I'm trying to put it in words. You really have to control your eyes, men, you know, and it just seems like it's getting riskier and riskier, or younger and younger and younger. And, things are becoming more acceptable in this culture right now that we're destined for a great fall, but it's terrible.
I don't want to put it off as long as possible. We have Tabitha on the line. Tabitha, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Tabitha?
I think mostly mine, I see with, like, you made a really good point, like the boys and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. I guess I really hadn't thought about it in that aspect, but that's a really good point. But what I was saying more is, like, how we raise our children, and I know, like, you're saying you have two young girls, and my daughter, she's only, like, 3 months right now, but I'm sure that when she gets to be that age that there'll be somebody that she's, like, looking at like that, you know what I'm saying, and being like, oh, well, they're doing it, and you know what I'm saying, like, that's how you're saying, like, that's what's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, we need to be raising our children like, this is how we need to live. This, we're set apart. We believe in the Bible. This is how it says to be pure. It says to be, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We don't want our brothers in Christ to stumble. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't want them to see stuff and be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I watch, like, even myself, like, sometimes I catch myself in the way that I'm dressed. It's just like, this isn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know it looks cool, but you have to realize when you're getting all the attention, it's like you could be causing your brothers to stumble, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a lot of women don't realize how important it is the way they dress, you know what I mean?
Well, Tabitha, let me ask you this. We actually got an email. In fact, if you have an email question, studio@m88.org, we'll take in your email questions tonight. We got an email question from Bobby who says, do you think it's a bad idea, or even more importantly, sinful, for a girl to wear makeup and wear clothing that hugs her curves, to be sensual but not sexual? And what, as a woman, what is your take on that?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of hard. Like, you need to draw the line somewhere where it's, like, not... Like, I know, like, he's saying, like, okay, you wear a shirt. Well, it's not revealing, but it's, like, really tight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That goes along with it. You just have to... I think as long as you're mature in Christ and you're able to say, you know what, this shirt, it looks nice and everything, but that's not for out in the public where people are going to be like, man, she looks hot. You know what I mean?
Right, but
like,
then...
that's not sending the right message. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
We're Christian, you know, and I know that we're not supposed to, like, wear this big old potato sack. You know what I mean? But it's just like, you have to think of those things. You know what I mean? Like, you can look pretty and you can look... very, I don't know what even the word would be, but you can really look like a nice woman or girl and still not be dressing like all crazy, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
absolutely.
You can still have your own style, you can still express yourself, which that doesn't mean you have to do it at the expense of somebody stumbling over you, you know what I'm saying? And I think that I've come to realize that now that, like, I have kids and I'm married, you know what I mean? And I'm only 22, but it's like, there's a lot of girls my age and even younger that they dress pretty crazy, and I'm like, have you been reading your word? You
didn't, right, like, right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be all judgmental, but it's like, there has to come a point in your life when you realize, like, am I making people stumble?
Absolutely.
And, like, seeing these pictures, we have to realize, like, Hannah Montana or Britney Spears' sister or whatever, like, they're probably not saved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like when they come into, like, when your kids come into your house and stuff like that, you have to be like, you know what? we're set apart. We believe in what the Bible says. This is a Bible-believing home, you know what I mean? And yeah. I understand kids are going to do what they're going to do either way. But it's like, well, it's in my house. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to do it like this. You know what I mean? And whether you stray from that, that's cool. You're going to do your own thing later on. Obviously, you have to make your own choices, but this is the way we do it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm raising you up this way. And you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I know what you mean. Do you know what I mean?
I know. I get that a lot.
Yeah, it's, you know, the crazy thing, I think, for me that's been a big wake-up call with my daughters is to know that someone like Hannah Montana is already impacting their lives without any contact that I'm aware of whatsoever.
Right.
They recognize that she is a cultural icon. And so, like, already I'm thinking, man, you know, how would I deal with this if they actually understood now, oh, yeah, she's, you know, going topless and just wearing a bedsheet to pose for photos. And what does that mean for them? You know,
right.
My wife and I have been concerned. Why are they so obsessed with Hannah Montana? We haven't done anything to promote that. And
right.
yet, they oh, Hannah Montana. And I don't know where that comes from. And it just goes to show how influential our culture can be without us even being aware of it. And that is why one of the things I'm learning is it's not enough to, like, say to your kids, okay, yeah, we're not going to have any part of that. We have to give them an alternative.
See, that's what I was going to say. I think it is very, very key as a parent, very, very, very important to be their number one role model in their life. In fact, as a parent, that's what we are to our children, is a number one. We are their greatest influence, their greatest role model. They see us every single day. And if we are trashing something and saying, that's one thing. However, if we are coming alongside our children and we are women dressing modestly, if we are doing things a different way and showing them that it is much better to live this way and not necessarily trash them, but explain to them why we are doing it this way instead, I think that would have such an impact on this next generation just by being a greater influence, a modest influence, as opposed to just, you know, coming against them and saying, well, this is trash and this da 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 da. Well, Mom, but you were doing da 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 da, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot that I'm your biggest influence. So I think a lot of it comes down to the parenting, you know, it really does.
Well, Tabitha, thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate you being a part of Raw Talk and bringing up some really good points. You have a great evening, all right?
Thank you.
All right. Take care, Tabitha. 505-338-5790. If you'd like to chime in, this is your opportunity to tell us, what should we be doing about this? We see the sensuality in today's culture. It is making an impact on our lives. What do we do about it? From role models that we see in society. And when I say that, I'm not saying that they're Christian role models. But what I am saying is whether we know it or not, they're having an impact on our kids. Again,
right.
my kids are a case study. They know Hannah Montana. I don't know where from, but somehow they do.
Lunch boxes at school.
Something, you know. Something. Somehow it's getting to them.
Right.
And I don't know how. That's the thing that's scary to me, that somehow it got to them. And I have no idea how. But that is the power of our culture right now. What are we supposed to do about it? How can we set an example as Christians to say, we're not going to have any part of that? More importantly, how do we keep that from creeping in to our own culture as Christians?
Right.
Because it is. Now, here's what I want to move on to next. And again, parents, if you don't want your kids to hear this, if you're sensitive about this, now's the time to kind of move them away because this is getting crazy, all right? I've been reading on Fox News, tracking a trend that's been going on. I've been aware of it in reports coming up for about 8 months, 8 to 9 months. The reports have been coming up on various news sites of this becoming a trend. The most recent one was just like about a month ago. Basically announcing this is now a part of teen culture. And what I'm referring to is the
quote-unquote nude trading cards?
Yes, nude trading cards. Apparently is becoming a part of teen culture and courtship rituals in high school that kids will send instant text messages, pictures, and video of themselves without any clothes, sometimes engaged in a sexual act. And this is a part of... Hey, would you like to go out on a date with me?
Wow.
And this has become such a trend that it, according to police reports, teachers, and other experts, that this has crossed every boundary. This is not just a certain group of kids that this is happening to. It is every you know, financial strata. It doesn't matter what race they happen to be. And it doesn't matter about religion. Christian kids, Jewish kids, atheist kids. This is happening across the board.
Right.
I was shocked, first of all, when it started happening. I was like, oh, well, that's weird, those isolated incidences. But it is not an isolated incident. It is becoming a part of teen culture to do this. And it makes me sick.
Yeah, dude.
To be honest.
I'm like turning red. I have a hard time with this subject because, you know, for me personally, I didn't make it to marriage, you know, and that's one area of my life that really, you know, someday talking to my boys about this is not going to be my finest hour, you know, and it's going to be something very hard for me. But it's something that I think is very important to talk about because, dude, it's more than just, like I was talking with modesty, this is something that, unfortunately, growing up was a, if you do this, you're going to hell. You don't want to have sex before marriage because it's bad, okay? It's evil. And talking about why it is so wicked and why God hates it and why it is horrible. No one ever took the time to tell me why it would be a beautiful thing to wait until marriage. Why God created it this way because it is perfect in every way, in the bonds of marriage, in the confines of marriage. And, I think it's something that we need to address because it seems like these days, it's just getting worse and worse as far as trashing something if you don't understand it or if you're against it, rather than coming alongside someone and telling them the alternative, you know, why it's a bad idea, why you should wait. Because, dude, let me just tell you how much more amazing it would be if you just wait until marriage and when God is blessing it. And I think it's something that is absolutely desensitizing us because it's something that I still have to deal with, unfortunately. And because of that, it kind of desensitized me. And same with, well, the media again. You know, once again, it seems like things are getting racier on television. And we're talking like Fox and ABC. And it's like, whoa, did I just see somebody without any clothes? Oh, it's okay. It was from the back, or it was shadowed in this, you know. Oh, it's artsy, you know. And it's like, no, dude, that is not cool or acceptable in any way, shape, or form, because we are desensitizing our children, everyone around us, to something that is very, very scary. The Bible is very clear about where adulterers and liars and fornicators go, and it's not a cool place. Literally, it's on fire.
That was a good one.
Hey, thanks.
You're punny.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, this trend that has been growing amongst the teen culture, and part of it is the quote-unquote anonymity of it all.
Okay. You know? Oh, yeah, right. Because they're taking these shots from, like, the neck down.
Often it's from the neck down, but even when they expose, you know, who they are, you know, it's from the safety of their home, and then it's just a picture that other people are going to see, but it's not like, you know, it's like doing radio. Like, right. I'm not in front of a live audience, so I feel safer. Well, that's part of what's happening with text messaging and videos and MySpace and all that. Well, I'm not really in front of anyone, so I'm once removed. It makes it safer, and it's getting scary. And we'll come back and talk more about this. We have Amanda on the line. Amanda, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Amanda?
I just had a comment about how I know the viewer before me that was, you know, talking. She mentioned about clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying sort of about how we need to watch how we dress so we don't cause, you know, maybe a male to stumble.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking to myself, well, I know for me, I'm 18 and I'm not dating anyone or anything like that because, you know what, I'm just trying to focus on school, on God, and really where he wants me to go in my life before, you know, he brings that person into my life that I'm going to share the rest of my life with. And I was, you know, I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, I go into the mall, and
the mall's a scary place. I was just there today, and I was like, man, I don't like going to the mall. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in.
I completely understand. I hate going to the mall. I mean,
I'm not alone.
Especially as a female that tries to dress modest, because, you know, I don't care for bringing attention to myself. That is not what I'm looking to do. And, you know, I sit there and I pray to God. I'm like, God, you're just going to have to point out that perfect outfit for me, you know, because, you know, I want to look beautiful because, you know, I believe I'm a beautiful woman. I believe God made me a beautiful woman. And, you know, if God, you know, I don't ever buy a piece of clothing without, you know, praying, God, is this pleasing your eyes? And I don't believe that I can cause anyone to really stumble Well, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that where do we draw the line between a personal accountability for the male and, you know, trying to dress really modestly or really trying to, you know, show yourself off?
You know,
because I know I work at a clothing store, oddly enough, and I don't usually buy anything in that store because, you know what, it would bring attention to myself. But even then, I go to work in shirts that are, you know, fairly big. They cover me up, you know, pretty well. And I still get guys that look at me in a way that is not pleasing to God and that, you know, is lustful.
Right.
And so I just think to myself, Lord, you know, that's a really thin line between personal accountability for the guy and really actually trying to flaunt what you've got.
You know, and that's a good point. And guys, listen to that. We have a responsibility ourselves. And you're absolutely right, Amanda. Sometimes it doesn't matter what a woman is wearing. Sometimes
Exactly. Guys
can still be not cool. And
Right. There
is responsibility on both sides. One of the things I've always appreciated the most about my wife is her modesty. And yet, at the same time, that she understands what it means for me that I'm pleased by the sight of her. You know,
Right. At
home, she'll wear certain things that she would never wear out in public. She wears them at home because she knows it's pleasing to me. She doesn't wear them out in public because she doesn't want to please anybody else.
Exactly.
But at the same time, there's been times where she's worn stuff and obviously another guy was pleased. And we never heard from that guy again. No, I'm just kidding. That's just the way I felt. But, you know, she does what she can while still making herself attractive to me, even when we're out in public. And then, you know, the rest of those guys, well, all it takes is one strong look from me and like, oh, hey, better not go there.
Better not,
But, you know, you're right. It still happens. Guys, we have a responsibility. You know, Job talked about making a vow with his eyes not to look at anything that would be displeasing or lustful. That he made that vow. He made that promise with himself that he would be very careful with what he looked at. And that was something when I came across that in Job, I was like, man, that's kind of interesting that this guy would go to that length. That's cool.
Right.
I want to be that kind of guy. So absolutely there's responsibility on both sides. Thanks for bringing that up, Amanda. We have a bunch of people waiting, so we're going to move on, all right?
All righty.
All right, thanks, Amanda. Next we have Bina on the line. Bina, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, I just had a thought. This is also along the line that
Sure. She
was just talking about clothing and stuff. And I was thinking we've been talking about how we can cause our brothers to stumble and stuff, or anyone to stumble. And I was thinking that that's really the trend that the media has set up for us, to cause people to stumble. And I just can't stand that thought. But honestly, I'm an intention-seeking person. And it's hard when all the other girls are getting the attention for things like that. And that's because the media has set that up. And it just goes to show you how powerful the media is. And, that was just my little thought on
you
that.
You know, Bina, that's a good point. And actually, going back to this idea of teenagers as part of their dating courtship, sending nude photos and even worse of themselves to potential, part of that comes, according to some experts, for this idea that they have been conditioned to think in order to attract attention, they need to go to these lengths, that this is just part of the courtship ritual in order to attract the attention of a male or a female. Guys are doing this just as much as females are. But it's much more rampant among women because they're being told through what we see in our culture and society that you must be aggressive. You must present yourself this way. Otherwise, dudes aren't going to pay attention to you. Dudes, that's sad. What is wrong with us where we're willing to sit back and say, maybe. No, not cool. I'll tell you right now, the thing that attracted me to my wife wasn't how great she looked, although she does look great, but was the light of Christ within her. She was such a godly woman, it was like a moth to a flame, and my life was over. Actually, it just began.
Amen, dude.
I had never come across a woman who glowed the way that she did, and I couldn't resist it. Didn't have anything to do with the way that she dressed. And I'm trying to raise my girls to understand the same thing. You know, you're beautiful young women. But you know what? It's Christ in you that truly makes you beautiful. And the fact that guys are being silent on this issue, big mistake, guys. All
right. Dudes, here's the deal, bro. Here's a little tip for all the dudes out there. Go back to Proverbs chapter 31 and take a look at that whole thing. And that should be our guideline as males for what we're looking for in a woman. In fact, I and not condoning it in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. I have a tattoo on my arm of my wife's name, and it's actually a piece of the proverb from 31. Because it's a great reminder to me that that is, dude, ditto what Yo said. You know, my wife, beautiful woman. I love her to death. She's the apple of my, I absolutely cherish my wife. I would do anything for my wife. And it's not because she's gorgeous, which she is, but it is that fear of the Lord. I think of, you know, Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, you know, and it's that when I am falling behind, she is there to kind of nudge me along. And when she's lacking, I am there. And that relationship with Christ is what is key, man, you know. And so, dudes, Proverbs 31, the entire chapter, read it. It's your homework, and stop looking at the media, because trust me, they got it all wrong.
Bina, thank you so much for bringing up a really important topic. Again, we got some people waiting, so we're going to move on. All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
You bet, Bina. Thank you.
Bye.
505-338-5790. I'd like to hear from some dudes on this issue. So far, it's the ladies calling in. And here's what we're discussing. We're talking about role models, purity in today's society, how it's failing us, what can we do about it? You know, talking about the fact that up-and-coming trend amongst teenagers in lots of areas is, send a nude photo of yourself and see if the guy's interested. Then you can go out on a date. Wow, you know, I had enough trouble sending the note that said, "Do you like me? Check yes or no." I would not survive in that type of dating culture that's out
either.
There today. And yet, this has become a standard part of teen culture in a lot of areas. And when I say teen culture, not just certain teens, even
across
Christian
the board.
Teens.
Right, yeah.
And that's the shocking part. And I want to get into that more here in just a moment. But if you have a comment about this, from modesty to how we can keep ourselves pure and set apart, give us a call, 505-338-5790, because here's the deal. The role models that we see in today's culture, obviously not working for us. They all have fallen, every single one of them. Britney Spears was a role model for a long time. Do you remember when Britney Spears was the pure, innocent girl next door? And, oh, she's such a good role model for young girls. Isn't that awesome? What happened?
Well, see, for me, I don't agree with that because, well, I will say that she was definitely a role model. However, her very first music video was her dressed in that little short skirt schoolgirl outfit. I mean, she's never exactly been the most modest of people. Maybe she started it. Should we blame Britney?
I think it goes back way before Britney. We have Tara on the line. Tara, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just thinking of when I was little. It unfortunately, it really is the media, because there was this billboard of this cool girl, I hate to say, from the cigarette brand. And she was gorgeous to me, and I wanted to look like her. And you stand in line, the grocery store line, and see all these magazines. And even Disney, I wanted to look like Sleeping Beauty. It's everywhere. And the Barbie dolls, I wanted to look like a Barbie doll.
Right.
Don't get me started on the Barbie doll thing,
dude.
Yeah, and I think it's important for both fathers and mothers, brothers, people, brothers younger or older, to say, ooh, that's not cool. Ooh, that's disgusting. Ooh, I don't want to see that much. This is not beautiful. This, telling them what beauty is, to look attractive but not to attract.
Mm. Yeah, that's really important. And, you know, going back to the Barbie doll thing, I'm not happy that my girls play with Barbies.
Well, as soon as she said Disney, I thought of Princess Jasmine from Aladdin, who wore this little tube top.
Yeah.
Like, then I realized,
Little
wait
Mermaid.
A minute. Yeah, Little Mermaid. Dude, Little Mermaid. I didn't think about this. Disney is evil. Oh, they're evil.
Well, you know, and the point is that there is a certain perception of beauty that is being perpetuated everywhere you look.
Right.
We were driving back from the zoo the other day. I was just, you know, driving the car. Traffic was slow downtown. I looked to my left. Whoa! I didn't know they had those kinds of clubs downtown and that they advertised them that way.
Yeah.
And my wife says, yeah, I noticed that and I was about to warn you.
Yeah.
You know, but you just don't expect, you know, just driving casually through town and next thing you know, bam, like, where did that come from?
The sad thing is America hasn't even been hit that badly yet. When I was over in Europe, in Germany and London and that whole Oh, Europe, I mean, they're literally topless. They're literally, you know, that's the way they are portrayed over there. So it's like, I can't even imagine when it comes to a point here, which, let me be frank, it's going to come to that point eventually.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. Lord, just please come back, bro, you know? But it just seems that, yeah, it's heading in that direction, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, Tara, thank you for mentioning the Barbie thing, because...
Thanks for getting yo all riled
up. Yeah,
man, Barbies.
All right, Tara, you have a great evening, all right? 505-338-5790 to comment on this. And, you know, what we're going to turn to here in just a moment is, okay, what can we do about it? You know, we've heard a lot, and we've actually gotten some suggestions already. And the question is, where do we draw the line? We as Christians must draw a line. And here's the sad thing. That line is not being drawn. Real quick before we get to Lawrence, about a year and a half ago, I was reading a study about sexual behavior amongst Christian teenagers, and I was shocked. And here's something interesting. Again, parents, if you don't want your kids to hear this type of sensitive information, move them out, all right? Here's what I was blown away by. Okay, we tell kids, especially Christian kids, you know, don't have sex, wait for marriage, don't have sex, wait for marriage, don't have sex, wait for marriage. You know, what they're hearing is intercourse.
Right.
And according to the study, that a lot of Christian kids, this is about a year and a half ago, a lot of Christian kids, it was upwards of 35% to 40%, saw nothing wrong with oral sex because it was not intercourse.
Right.
So perhaps what we need to explain to people is...
And that was like a year and a half ago. I'm sure the number's gone up since then.
So perhaps what we need to explain is not just, you know, don't have intercourse, but... be pure. 1 Timothy 5:22 tells us, keep yourself pure. There's more to purity than just avoiding having sexual intercourse until marriage. And that message is being drowned out in a society of sensuality that says you can go pretty far without actually, you know, doing something that's wrong.
Well, and that's the way sin is, dude. You start
yes.
you start off at one little area. You're like, you know what, dude? I'm only going to go this far. And you start writing, okay, all right, I'll go here. And then the next time it's like, well, that was all right. Maybe I'll go, you know, I'll go a little further.
That was exciting.
A little further. That was really good. And then I know from experience that once you go down that path, it's harder to be pleased the next time. And so you need to... add a little more to it. You need a little something more. Let's see how much farther we can get. This is exciting now. Okay, now let's keep going farther. And pretty soon, you are having sex. And
that's what we're seeing with these role models.
Absolutely.
Like, with the thing that concerns me about the situation with Miley Cyrus is like, okay, a little bit of shoulder.
Right.
Oh, that got a reaction. Sales are up. Well, what can we do next to keep boosting?
Maybe it's supposed to
back. Right. You know, and that's what we've seen with a lot of the quote-unquote Pop-Tarts is that they keep having to expose a little bit more to grab the attention, to, you know, keep their sales up, to keep interest in who they are and all that type of stuff. And while they're doing that, grabbing our attention, what's coming back to us is like, oh, in order for me to get attention, I need to do the same thing. We have Lawrence on the line, 505-338-5790. If you'd like to add a comment or a question to this conversation about purity, role models, where do we draw the line? Give us a call, 505-338-5790. Lawrence, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hola.
I just wanted to say that just some experience with the youth that I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a handful of kids, and just they're role models. They look up to 50 Cent, Tupac, gangster raps. I mean, they want to be the thugs, you know, they want to dress
right.
like it. Even in the church, they come to church with shirts with rest in peace Tupac in it, or, you know, and just the influence that these guys have. I mean, they're practically worshiping these guys and making them gods, you know, and just that we really got to just speak to the youth and actually hang out with the youth, especially the younger adults, I believe. You know, being myself, that I'm 25, I did 2 years in jail, you know, and got out. And so, I could show them that, hey, God is cool, you know what I mean? And I could show them that, hey, there's a darker side to all this.
Mm.
There is consequences out there. If you go and sell drugs, if you go out and live these lives that these rappers are talking about, then there's a good chance that you're going to be dead, you know, go to jail. And even worse, you know, they don't know about hell. A lot of these kids, even when the ones that grew up in the church, they want to ignore it. They don't want to look at it, you know what I mean? They don't want to think that they can die and go to hell,
mm-hmm.
you know, living in their sin. So we try to bring that to them, and you know, we try to start up a Christian hip-hop, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we'll try to take them out on the streets and play basketball with them, just spend the quality time with them and show them that, hey, you know, just because we serve God don't mean we're not cool or anything, because they think, hey, you know, we're Christians, we're nerds. You know what I mean? That's what they straight tell me. They straight say, hey, you know, I ain't no nerd. You know what I mean? How am I going to get one of these girls at school, you know, if I'm over here talking about God? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's scary. It's scary to even hear them say that, you know, so.
It is scary. It's a very scary culture, and as I've had kids of my own, I realize more and more I want to make sure that the younger generation, and I'm not that old, all right? I'm talking about the generation that's immediately behind me, doesn't make the same mistakes I have and has to deal with, you know, regret and pain.
Right.
Yes, God forgives because he loves us so much, but you still have to deal with the consequences, and those consequences can last a long, long time. Some people might say, well, that's not fair. If God was fair, he'd completely wipe it away. Well, he did, because you're not held accountable for it anymore.
Right.
It's gone. But you know what? When you burn yourself, you could have the pain completely removed. You're still going to have a scar.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not going to go away. Well, that's the way sin is, and we don't understand that. But more than that, you know, I think the younger generation hears plenty about sin. And let's be honest, Steve-O, I know you're in the same boat with me with this. When someone tells you, you can't do that, our natural reaction is like, oh,
yeah?
Yeah? Watch
really?
Me.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm supposed to do. Okay.
I'll show you. You know, I've had that reaction too most of my life.
Right.
I never liked it when people said, no, don't do that. And like, what? Are you going to stop me?
Right.
What's the big deal? Instead of constantly hammering that home to kids, which more often than not just makes them like, you can't tell me what to do. You're not cool. What we need to do, and the same with God. God says don't do that. Well, then we're just doing, oh, yeah, God can't tell me what to do. We need to present the hope
right.
that the Bible brings.
Amen.
Yes, God has strong don'ts. He puts rules in there to protect us. They know that. What they need to know is that God loves them, and he has a plan for them. He has a purpose for them. He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me, that there are good things in store for us when we do it God's way, not that we just have to do it God's way.
And you just hit the nail on the head. It's God's way. I think one of the scariest things in the church right now is when we become too seeker-friendly and we start getting flashy with our human side going, okay, yo, what can we do? We need at least 13 more people in service next week, so let's do this and da-da-da. And you start trying to do things on your own rather than presenting the truth the way God has you present it. Then all of a sudden, you get all these people in there and you're trying to just, hey, bro, this is cool, yo, check it out, word. And you're not real with them. And it's going to fall apart because they will see right through that and they're right back to square one. So
yep.
I think there's definitely some issues that we have to deal with in the church, man, with reaching out to this next generation and how to approach that in love, in truth, you know, and present that hope without trying to be, all right, we got to serve to this, iPod, fast food generation. So how can we try and make the gospel seem cooler?
Right.
Dude, Jesus Christ is as cool as it gets. You do not have to try and flash him up. I promise you.
And 505-338-5790, if you would like to help out with how can we do that? How can we help this younger generation understand what they are worth? Lawrence, thank you so much for calling in and making some great points.
Yeah,
bro,
dude.
You sound like you're a guy who's keeping it real, and that is going to make an impact. So
Amen.
Thank you for doing that. All right, Lawrence is cool.
I appreciate that. Thank you, brother.
All right,
thanks,
yeah,
brother.
Good
all
night.
Right, you guys keep your head up, man. You know what I mean? Just appreciate you putting me on there. Thank you.
Yeah,
God
thanks,
you, man.
Lawrence.
Cool.
505-338-5790. If you have a comment or a question about how we can do this, you know, what's going on with these role models? They're not cutting it. All right? People are always going to fail. They're always going to fall.
Amen, because we're human beings.
Right. And if we keep looking for them to set the standard, well, that standard's going to be pretty low.
Right.
And it'll be easy to meet, and actually it'll probably get us more trouble than it's worth to actually follow that standard. So what should we as Christians should we be doing to help people, well, especially the younger generation, understand there is a better way to live? Before we get to Samantha, one thing that I want to mention before we go on, Titus, hey, the Bible has answers.
Hey, look
what?
At that.
Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Actually, we'll start in verse 1. I thought this was really interesting because I was thinking about, well, what verse could I share where the Bible says, you know, role models, you know, that has to do with role models and setting the standard. Titus chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them a good example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us." Like, hey, amen to that. Amen. There you go. So it's up to the older generation to help the younger generation. And unfortunately, we see a generation gap far too often. Because, you know, let's face it, you have big people church, youth group.
Right.
And never the twain shall meet. Because that wouldn't be cool. I'll have to sit in church with my parents.
I got to sit in big church.
What good is that? They don't play the kind of music I like. They don't reference movies like Iron Man when they talk about, you know, and not that I'm saying that that's bad necessarily, but there is a lot of benefit to when teenagers can sit in big people church with their parents. I don't want to be seen with my parents. It's not cool. Well, we have a lot that we can share with them. Like me and Steve-O, we've made mistakes. I don't want other kids to make the same mistakes that we made.
Amen.
Because I don't want them to have to deal with the pain and the regret.
Right.
Because it's awful.
Yeah. Dude, it's horrible.
But
I know.
If I'm thinking, well, I'm an adult now, so I go to the adult church, and, you know, if I get a chance to make an appearance at a youth group, then maybe I will. But, you know, most of the time, we'll let someone cool handle that.
Right.
You know what? I've realized more and more, I'll be honest, I was never very much interested in doing youth group work. And then I started working at M88.
Dude.
Talk about irony. Does God have a sense of humor? Absolutely he does.
Yes, he does.
And more, I've gotten such a heart for, man, I want these kids to understand there is a better way to live than from what they're seeing in their culture and the culture around them. Let's move on. We got Samantha on the line. Samantha, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Samantha?
I was just trying to tell everybody that's listening and parents that it's not just the media. If you go to, you know, just the simple stores, just like JCPenney or Walmart, their clothes are extremely small.
Mm-hmm.
And I have trouble trying to find clothes that fit me right. And it's hard because you want to fit in with the kids that you see, you know, that have the latest style or whatever. And, you know, regardless of what, you know, school you go to, private, homeschool, public. And, you know, and then it's like, oh, well, I want this girl to like me or I want this guy to like me. And if I wear this, maybe they'll, you know, notice me. And it's hard to find clothes that you can wear that present God and not your body.
You know, and that's a great point. Do you remember last year there was a young girl who had the same problem, couldn't find anything that she thought was modest enough at a store. She took it to the general manager of that chain, like went to the store manager, made such a huge fuss that the store eventually started carrying some different clothes because she was like 14, made such a huge deal about it and got news coverage and everything last year. And I thought, you know, way to go.
Right.
That there was someone, a 14-year-old, who was willing to say, this is awful. I can't wear these clothes. I'm the customer.
Right.
You don't tell me how to look. I tell you how I want to look.
Right.
You get some different clothes, and eventually that's exactly what happened. That does not happen enough.
Right. I 100%
agree with you. Because Samantha is right. We were at JCPenney today, and we're looking at clothes. I'm like, man, where am I going to go shopping with my girls when they're ready for school?
Well, who's setting the trends? That brings us to that subject. Who is setting the trends? Is it the stores putting out these things, or is it us because we are the ones buying them so the stores continue to put out stuff like this? I think it was amazing that girl went and did that, and I think if more people did that more often and said, hey, I am the customer, that hey, look at this money that I want to spend, but I'm not going to until you get some better stuff, I think maybe people would change their tune. And maybe some stores would start carrying a little better clothing. That's just my take.
Well, you know, it's kind of like a chicken and egg kind of situation. Well, I have to buy these clothes because those are the clothes that they have. I would buy different clothes if they had different clothes, but I need clothes, so therefore I must buy clothes. And it's this cyclical type of situation that can be very difficult to change.
It is. It's very hard, and I don't know where in the Bible, but even the Bible, it says to dress modestly,
right?
You know, no matter what gender you are. And there's even a song, because I have one of the Barlow Girl CDs, and they have an exact song that, you know, is complaining about the same thing, and they're saying, you know, you know, these clothes are too small, and I'm making the money, and I'm paying for them, so,
right.
You know. But, yeah, and it's hard. It's very difficult.
Well, Samantha, I'm glad that you're taking a stand for what you believe in and that you recognize a problem. I hope you find some solutions and
Amen.
That you help others, your friends, to find solutions as well. Thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
You
Real
too.
Quick, we have John wrapping things up for tonight. John, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, John?
Oh, I wanted to make a comment. You know, we what's the best way to teach our kids these things? And there's something interesting as we deal with David and his sin with Bathsheba. Obviously, there was a moral collapse there, and that's what's happening with our kids today. But his prayer in Psalm 51 was that, God, you know, against you and you only have I sinned. And I think we've made Christianity so much about ourselves that we've lost the fact that it's about God.
Right.
What he did for us, and even Jesus said, this is eternal life, that we might know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And somehow we have to get our kids to focus on, this is about him and his holiness and his glory, and we are exhorted in Scripture to be holy as he is holy. But that can't happen by rules in things that we do. We have to, I couldn't give my experience to my kids. They had to experience Christ for themselves. Now, I could live for Christ. I could live my experience, and they could see that. But they have to experience Christ for themselves and have that first generation. God, you know, you've heard it said, God has no grandchildren.
Amen.
And I think that that's the root and the core. And I can come up with purity rings, which I do for my girls. I can come up with all kinds of ideas, and I can teach them, but ultimately it comes down to, have they had an encounter with God? And when David offended God, when he sinned against Bathsheba, it was, God, this is something I've done against you, your holiness. And I guess get that focus back on God and off of us.
Well, that's the difference between religion and relationship.
Amen.
Religion gives you a bunch of rules, and relationship gives you a reason to follow those rules. Many people have wisely said, rules without relationship leads to rebellion.
Right.
And that is apparently what we're seeing a lot of, even among Christian teenagers. You know, we talk all the time about how the divorce rate amongst Christians isn't any different from the world. Well, you know what? The sad thing is, statistics when it comes to sexual behavior for Christian teenagers isn't that far behind what the trends are in the world. That's scary. That goes from teen pregnancy to, you know, this sending text messages of their naked bodies to each other to the whole gamut of sexual behavior. Like, oh, that's terrible that the world's doing it. Good thing we have a youth group where they're bubbled from that. You may be surprised at what's getting through that bubble. Like I said,
right.
I have no idea how my girls learned that Hannah Montana was cool, but somehow that filtrated into their system. Which is scary to me because there's a lot worse than Hannah Montana that I don't want to filtrate into their system.
Right.
But am I going to try and build higher walls? No, I'm going to try and build a stronger relationship with them in Christ because that is where the difference is going to be made. Thanks for calling in, John, and making that good point. That's a great way to bring our discussion to a close.
Great. Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity, guys.
No problem,
thanks,
John. Have a good night. Well, Steve, we got about 10 minutes left here, so let's bring it all together.
Okay.
And, you know, just provide some hope, because I don't want this Raw Talk or any time when we discuss these issues to be one of those, don't do this, don't do that, it's awful, it's evil, you're going to hell, it's sin. All that's true, but there's more to it than that. There's
Absolutely.
Always been more to it. Yes, the Bible says a lot about sin, but it says a lot more than just about sin.
Right.
So, you know, what would you say to people to say, here's the hope side of it?
Well,
okay, there's the bad stuff that's happening. We see what's happening in our culture and our society. Don't do that because it'll destroy you.
Right.
What can we share from our own experiences from the scripture that will give people good news?
Well, the good news is we may not always get it, but he does. He always gets it. He always knows. He's not surprised by this culture trend. He's not surprised by what's going on in the media. I promise you, he's not surprised Hannah Montana took those photos. He is God, all right? And even though sometimes we freak out and we don't understand what's going on and why this world sucks a lot, because let's face it, a lot of times I get down because looking around, it's like, do I want to raise children in this society? It's terrible. And then I remember, oh, wait, there is someone that is bigger than all of this. He is greater and grander and cooler than any of these dumb culture trends right now. And when you said that, I had my Bible open to somewhere else that I'll get to eventually. However, when you said hope, I thought of the scripture that has been kind of like my life scripture right here, because I grew up in a Christian home. I heard about Christ, and it was more of a rules home. And then I saw all of the rules being broken by everyone else around me and felt like, well, if everybody else is going to break the rules, I'm going to go ahead and break the rules. And then, you know, God will forgive me. He's God. He loves me, blah, 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 you know, and just kind of went according to that for many, many years. Well, when I finally realized it's not, as John said, it's not about me, man. It is about God. It is about Christ, who died for my sins, you know. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. He created me. I don't get to say, well, I didn't choose to be created and I didn't, you know, dude, you're here and God created you and this is his earth and his world and his universe. And so we got to play according to his rules. However, this is the hope I have is in Proverbs chapter 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And I love those scriptures because if we are faithful, if we are loving, if we as Christians, that which we, by the way, we're called to love. You know, we're not called to trash everything else and go, this is what I'm against. I am for love, man. Bottom line is, I am for Jesus Christ. I'm for loving. And I think a lot of times we get off that, you know, okay, I'm gonna get off on another tangent. However, if we let love and faithfulness never leave us, if we truly bind these things around us and we are loving and we are faithful to God's word and his plan for our lives. I loved that caller said she didn't even like buy clothes without praying first. It was such, that was like my favorite moment of this night, because that's what we should be doing with every aspect of our lives, giving it to the Lord and saying, Father, what do you have for me right now, dude? I may not know what's going on, but you get it. If you look the next verse down, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It wasn't until I gave up Steve-O, myself, and truly said, Lord, all right, I have tried so many different ways of the world, and it's not cool. These consequences are not fun. This heartache is not fun. All this icky is not fun. Please fix me, dude. Please take me and mold me and do whatever you want with my life. When I truly gave my entire life to God and let him just be the decision maker, my life was amazing. You know, no matter what may come against me, it's not me, dude. It's the Lord. And if he is with me, then who am I going to be afraid of, you know? And that's the bottom line. And that is what it comes down to, is that real relationship with Jesus Christ.
Two key points I want to part for everyone. First of all, you know, a lot of what we see happening in culture so far as how teens are exposing themselves, how they're aggressive in their sexual behavior because they think it's going to draw attention. And, you know, non-Christian experts have even said this goes back to their worth, their self-worth. They feel they need to do this to be worth something. You don't. The Bible says that you are worth something simply because you were created in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You have worth because you're worth something to God. He made you. He loves you. So you don't have to do these things to find worth. You have worth inherently. And that is so much more valuable than the quote-unquote worth you'll find by trying to grab attention from someone, engaging some of the behaviors that we've talked about tonight, or following some of the role models, quote-unquote, that we've talked about tonight. And the other thing I want to part with people, with our listeners tonight, the Bible's very pro-sex.
Right.
You know what? Adam and Eve, when they're created, were naked and knew no shame.
Right.
You know why? Because they're doing things God's way.
Right.
I'm, quite frankly, I'm kind of jealous. And I know that sounds a little raw. Well, it is raw talk. But here's the thing. Shame, when it came to nakedness, came with sin.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the world is trying to, hey, it's not that big of a deal. It's just the way we are. And they try to do it without shame. But I have yet to meet anyone who has followed the world's way when it comes to nakedness and some of the behavior that they follow that has not experienced shame, that has not had their soul destroyed. Because
Absolutely.
You can't go that route without being destroyed. Only God's way does it become something beautiful and awesome where you don't have to be ashamed. And that is what so many people are missing out on.
Yeah, it was, you know, to get a little personal, this is the last moment and it is raw talk, so I'm just going to be real. The first, like, 3 months of my marriage, I actually had a hard time being intimate with my wife because it had been hammered into my brain how evil and inherently wrong sex is in general, that it still freaked me out. And so, guys, ladies, pastors, everyone, we need to understand and realize that God created it to be beautiful in the confines of marriage. And so I think you nailed it right there. That's exactly it.
And even beyond that, sensuality. Now, this is going to step on some people's toes. You read the Song of Songs.
Right.
It's pretty sensual.
Absolutely.
Some of the best romances around, very sensual romances, found in the Bible between couples who were following God's plan for it. So all of that, it's okay when you're going according to God's rules, when you're going His way, when you're following His rules for it. It's amazing when you see it outside of that, it becomes smutty and it's blah.
Yeah, it's gross.
That's the only way I can really express it.
I want to encourage and this is, my Bible's been open to this scripture pretty much the whole show.
All right, let's hear it.
And, you know, we've been talking about these lines that we've been crossing. And this, I don't want to make it seem like it's just for the ladies with modesty, because dudes, let's be real, we have our tricks too. You know, we can do some things, and we know. I always go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Everybody, you can read Romans 14 because that one's an awesome one as well. However, I always come back to this one. We are free in Christ, and we've been talking about this freedom in Christ. And, well, you know, where's that line? Because I'm free and I'm attractive and I want to be. Check it out, dude. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, we'll pretend like dressing inappropriately, or
like Miley Cyrus,
whatever you want to put in there in place of eating, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause him to fall. If there is a question, I know because I'm secure in my faith that this is okay with me. However, you know that it could be questionable somewhere along the way. Dude, Paul straight up says, I will never eat meat again if it will cause somebody else to stumble. And that's the bottom line is, it's better to be careful than to try and, well, I'm free in my Christianity and my relationship with the Lord. I'm awesome, bro. And so I'm just going to go ahead and we could take it to any aspect. I'm just going to go ahead and drink a beer because I'm free in Christ. I'm going to go ahead and show some skin because I'm free in Christ. I'm going to go ahead and whatever it is. We still need to be careful as Christians. Yes, we are free. However, check it out, bro. Just check out the word.
Well, we've covered a lot of territory tonight. And if you still have questions or you want to talk more, perhaps you didn't want to talk on the air, you can send us an email, studio@m88.org. Steve and I will get back to you and talk more about this. You know, we've gone from Miley Cyrus, oh, it's not that bad. She showed a little shoulder. But hopefully you see that it's a progression that leads to all kinds of problems. And yet, when you look at what the Bible says, there's a lot of hope, there's a lot of beauty, and there's a lot of promises that are good when you look at God's word. Two opposing worldviews, and never the twain shall meet. I like saying that. So you got to choose one or the other.
That's a great one. I'm going to keep that one.
All right, you can hang on to that. Thanks for joining us for Rod Talk tonight. Steve-O, thank you for contributing this evening.
Oh, yes. I will see you bright and early in the morning, and we'll talk more about this.
Yeah, we'll do it on the morning show with Steve-O, your morning amigo.
That's right.
And you guys have a great evening. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about forgiveness with June Hunt, how to forgive when you don't feel like it. I'll be honest. I thought I understood forgiveness. Hey, Christian, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian a long time. Yeah, I get forgiveness. I didn't get it as much as I thought I did until I started reading what June Hunt had to share from God's Word, and it was amazing. So I hope you'll join us next Sunday, Mother's Day.
That's right. I was just going to say, while we're plugging things, I'm going to be talking to C.S. Lewis's stepson in the morning on the morning show.
Oh, that's right.
Douglas Gresham.
Busy week.
It is a busy week. I'm excited.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Have a great evening in the Lord.